This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to The Kevin Kelly Show, exclusively here on placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. And now here's your host, the voice of Ring of Honor, Mr. Kevin Kelly. When you're on
a holiday, you can certainly an emotional journey for WWE fans over the last few weeks, with WrestleMania, the ending of the streak, and then transitioning to the passing of the Ultimate Warrior, and a remarkable tribute played for the Warrior this past week on Raw. Hi, everybody. Welcome once again to the Kevin Kelly Show here on the Place to Be Nation. I am your host, Kevin Kelly. We've got some looks back at the big WrestleMania weekend events, and we'll kind of take the big picture look with our good buddy, my broadcast partner on Ring of Honor Television each and every week. Steve Corino is going to join us. Steve was a big part of the weekend's events. Not only did he sit ringside with me for both days of Ring of Honor, but he wrestled on one of the shows Saturday night. There were a few. And then he attended WrestleMania Live. So we'll get a great three-pronged perspective on the whole WrestleMania weekend. Get his thoughts on the end of the streak, his thoughts on the passing Warrior. And we also will be making some big announcements here regarding Mr. Corino, but that's later on. So obviously, when you talk about the Ultimate Warrior, he is a polarizing figure in professional wrestling. And his passing has brought about a polarizing, but mostly unanimous feeling from the public. When Warrior was active, when he was on top in the early 90s, I was past Warrior Generation. I was not around. I was in my early 20s. I was a fan of Ric Flair. I had always been a fan of Ric Flair. I saw the Warrior the same way I saw Lex Luger. Somebody who was limited and didn't do very much. I was more that, you know, it's about wrestling. But Warrior captured the imagination and personally, I would say, affected fans more than I knew. More than I knew, because it wasn't until his passing that I realized how many fans absolutely love the guy. And here was a guy who was just, you know, on the surface, if you just read some of the things that he wrote about over the years and said the things that he said and always seemed to be angry or always seemed to be suing somebody. Who knows what was going on? And, you know, I was just like, well, listen, guys like Warrior, man, they are into their own thing. And then, you know, even the WWE, they produced that hit piece DVD because Vince was mad at him, and everybody stands up and's like, oh, Warrior, what a ego, what a dumb guy, whatever they said about him. I didn't watch it, because I knew it was mean-spirited. I knew it came from a very selfish place. Do you think Vince McMahon regrets that DVD? Do you think he does? I don't know if that guy has a lot of regrets about a lot of things. I don't know if he has any regrets about anything. But I've got to believe he regrets making that DVD. Now, the heartfelt tribute on Raw this week, the letter that I read from Warrior's wife today, where she talked about just the outpouring of love and support from the WWE. Is that all genuine? Absolutely yes. To me, it's not a situation where, and I always in your personal life, you will realize this, you will think about this, because situations like this will come along. You can look at what somebody does or says, and you can say, well, they're just trying to make good. They're just trying to make amends. They're just trying to apologize. Just take the first three words of that statement. They're just trying. They're just trying. Let them try. Okay? If people want to make good, let them. If they screwed up in the past, forget about it. You know, I wrote on Twitter, I just, Warrior's death didn't affect me personally the way it had affected a lot of fans, a lot of younger fans, people that are younger than me, that are my peers, that were true fans of the Ultimate Warrior, that were really affected by his passing. Now, keep in mind, I've been through the death of a lot of people in professional wrestling, people that are my friends, that I personally have known, funerals I've been to, okay? So let's start from there. But Warrior's death, to me, and with the way he came back at the Hall of Fame, complete class act, didn't hold a grudge, moved forward with everything, spoke from the heart, somewhat prophetic if you read his words, then to Raw the next night, or two nights later, where he goes out and basically gives another impassioned speech, only to collapse and die the next day when he got back to Phoenix, Arizona. But what Warrior's death said to me was that we have to squash all the silly little heat that's in our lives. Oh, I don't like this guy. Why? Why don't you like him? Ah, he's an asshole. Forgive my language. I normally don't curse, but I'm doing this for him. Why don't you like him? He's an asshole. Why is he an asshole? I don't like that guy. Yeah, but why? Because he's a jerk. Yeah, but why? Give me some substance. You run across people like this all the time. They can tell you that they don't like a person, but damn, if they can cite some specific examples, there might be hard to come by. It's just that gut feeling. It's just that perception. It's just that whatever. We got to let that nonsense go. That's just nonsense, and we got to let it go. Got to let it go. I'm going to talk to Steve Corino later on, because Steve Corino in 2014 is different than the Steve Corino that I knew 5 years ago. Different than the Steve Corino I knew 2 years ago. He's let a lot of stuff go. How and why did he do it? That's what's important. Squash all the silly heat. Forget all the little rivalries, be they sibling rivalries or workplace rivalries or whatever. You can't finish strong, folks, if you don't move forward. If you want to stay raking the same ground your entire life, be my guest. I'm going to reach out to you and offer you my hand and say, let's move along. Let's move forward. But if you want to stay there and keep raking that same ground, well, then you can have at it. Because my hand is always going to be there for you. And when you're ready to move on, I'll pull you along. But if you want to stay there, then that's your choice. We got to stop all this nonsense about talking back and forth on social media. We've got to have real conversations. Because you know what? When Vince and Warrior got together, all the hatchets were buried. And there were many. I was there in the company in 96. I had just gotten started. As soon as I started, he flaked out. I met him once. I shook his hand in the hallway. I said hi to him. He had wrestled that night on Raw a little bit later on. And I never saw him again because he was gone. That was it. Then they wound up bringing Sid in. Changed the whole course of everything, if you think about it. So there are a lot of lessons that we could take from Warrior's passing. There's a lot of things that we all could do better. I read something, and I think it was either our good buddy. By the way, Justin Rosero is our producer. Dan McGinn also on the scene tonight. But JR, hello.
Hello.
JR, I think it was our good buddy, RJ Brewer, mm-hmm. a.k.a. John Walters, a.k.a. your college chum, who may have said these words that a lot of, and if I am citing the wrong source, I apologize, but I think it was him. Or maybe it was Stevie Richards, who said, and both are smart guys, who said a lot of wrestlers are going to honor the Ultimate Warrior by painting their faces and putting tassels on their arms, where instead they should go to the gym and work out. That's how they should honor the Warrior. What kind of lessons did you learn from the Warrior? Were you a big fan?
Growing up, I was. I started watching wrestling in February-ish of 1990, January, around there, like was where I really got into it. And he was rocketing to the top at that point. So we covered this a lot on our Warrior Tribute, Place to Be podcast, Monday night. But just quickly, he, you know, when I started watching, he was on the level of Hogan already, because in my eyes, I didn't know their pasts. I just started watching. They're presented both as the top guy. So, and it wasn't until later when I started to go back and watch things, I saw his ascension, that he had just hit the peak. I mean, the way they presented it in 1990 was that these are the two guys. So in my eyes, yep, for a while, Ultimate Warrior was like the guy, because he was the champion when he came in.
He was.
So I was always a fan of his. I was excited when he came back in 96, sad when he left quickly, even more sad with his 98 WCW showing. Obviously, he had some, you know, weird stuff, like you mentioned, in the 2000s, you know, popping up on, you know, the UConn presentation and everything else. But I was very happy to see him back, and he seemed very happy. His family seemed to really, you know, adore him at the Hall of Fame. And,
yeah,
you know, you mentioned, does Vince regret that DVD? I would say if everything that happened last week happened about 2 weeks earlier, he would have had a lot more regret on his chest.
Well, that's true. That is true.
I think getting to see him and him coming back and getting to tell his story and getting his moment on Raw and that picture of them hugging, I think that probably lifted a lot of that regret that they made things right.
And the other point that I wanted to make about that was, couch that regret that he might have about producing that hit piece DVD that he did on The Warrior, mm-hmm, with the fact that he never was able to squash the heat with Savage before he passed away.
Right, but he never did anything like that to Savage. They just didn't really talk or catch
they
up.
They never did business again, but there was definitely no hit piece. Right. And if you look back, because again, the careers and the timeline of Warrior and Savage are so intertwined, mm-hmm, that so many of the highlights involved Savage. As Savage left, Savage Warrior, which then led to Savage proposing, which then led to the wedding, mm-hmm, blah, 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 you know. So watching a lot of Warrior stuff this week, there was, you know, Savage was intertwined, and it's like, why didn't Savage get his moment? Why didn't Vince put it behind him?
No, he didn't do it. I mean, it was a different time as well a few years ago. Vince seems to actually have softened a bit over the last couple of years with the network, and they're embracing even more of the history lately. And Savage just wasn't on the terms at that point. Like, you know, I saw people saying, how come Savage going to get a tribute Raw? Well, I think if they did a tribute Raw to Savage, it would have looked like cashing in at the time. I think it would have come off really poorly because they hadn't talked to him, and then all of a sudden they're doing a Raw for him. Warrior had just come back to the family. If you remember also, that Warrior hit piece was almost like a warning shot to Brett. Do you remember that? Because they were going to do Screwed the Bret Hart story, and then Brett caved and signed and did the Hall of Fame because he wanted the DVD to be told by him. So I think that was a big part of the Warrior hit piece, too, was almost like trying to get Brett in the fold and say, hey, you know, we'll do this to you, too. And it was like weeks later that Brett signed, because they actually were taking pre-orders for that Screwed DVD on Amazon.
I just think there's a bunch of – I think there was a lot of phonies. I think there were phonies on both sides of that. I think there were phonies that trumped up what their feelings might have been. You know, say this and you know you'll get on the DVD. Not that they were promoted or provoked or anything. Mm-hmm. But I just think that if you've got nothing good to say, say nothing at all. They don't put a gun to your head and say, you must come on this DVD, and you must. Here is your script. Here is what you must say.
Well, the one that really
bugged like
me.
It's like a shoot interview. They put the microphone in front of your face and turn the camera on and say, go.
And the one that really bugs me on that was Jim Ross, because he was never really even there with the Warrior, and he was like one of the nastiest on there about it. And I was like, what the hell? But yeah, Scott and I talked about that time period, late 05, a very, very like angry douchebag time in WWF history. Like, they've had some stretches like that, but that late 05 was when they went back to USA and they did the Dr. Heine stuff to mock JR. They did that Warrior hit piece all in late 05. It was a very angry time at the company at that point.
And Warrior was one that said, and I'd love to find the quote, and it was a perfect quote, and I stole it from him. I gave him credit for it, too. Was you at that time period, you had to watching WWE was like looking through the, you know, looking at a peep show. It was, you felt dirty watching it. It was like watching something you shouldn't watch, because mm-hmm, it was just so vulgar and crass. But anyway, not that I sit on my high horse. I'm sure we'll talk more about it as the show goes on. We'll talk with Steve about it, because Carino's our guest. JR, any quick thoughts on the end of the streak? I'm a big fan of it. I had no problem with it at all.
Yeah, I've come around. I used to be a proponent of that they should never end it. I think we probably even talked about it on here, how they should never end it, how, you know, I thought there was more money to be made with it. And then, you know, because I thought he could always come back maybe down the line if needed. But then watching him at 30, I'm like, he's done. I mean, he's cooked. He had nothing left in the tank. I don't think he'll ever wrestle again. I think he's going to go out that way. There was a lot of anger that Brock Lesnar was the guy, but I think Brock Lesnar should have been the guy in a way, because I've always heard all the arguments. It should be a young guy. It should be a guy that needs it. But Kevin, you know, you're obviously a lot closer to the business than I am. Would something like that become an albatross on a young guy? Like, say you give that to Roman Reigns. Does the pressure not become so heavy on him and the creative team and everything else to take advantage? Like, Brock is a money-drawing star. It's not going to weigh down on him to be the guy.
I'll give you an example, and it's apples to oranges, but it's a parallel. I tried to think of that parallel because that's a very good question. Does that become the albatross around the neck? Tommy Rich won the NWA World title at 20, whatever he was, 24, and it was only for a week. But that really, I think, became kind of that albatross around his neck, because politically, why, you know, all things that led to questions of why and how and things like that. Whereas if it never would have happened, Tommy would have had a great career. Not to say Tommy Rich didn't, and Tommy became an enemy of Tommy's. And that's the reason why his career took the path that it did, not certainly because he was the NWA champion. In many respects, it helped him. But yeah, if you tie something around the neck of a young guy like a Roman Reigns or even a CM Punk, it's really tough to live up to.
Yep.
But who is going to walk up to Brock Lesnar and say, the words would start to come out of your mouth and you pull it away. I can't believe you're the guy that beat this, ended the streak, and you're not tough enough to beat Undertaker. Wait a minute. Yes, you are.
And that's what I loved about the match, because as we were watching it and Taker kicked out of the F5, hit one of the tombs, I'm like, and he hit that awful tombstone. And I was just oh God, I'm like, this is so stupid. I said at the table, and I think McGinn can back me up. I said, you know, this is so stupid. That
you throw a chicken wing at the screen?
Oh, I was like, Taker's going to win this effing match. Like, it's so unbelievable. Like, I get the Triple H ones. They used all the weapons. I'm like, if Undertaker defeats Brock Lesnar in his current shape straight up in a clean match, it just looks so stupid. And I was glad that they didn't do it that way.
Well, they didn't do it. Hey, we'll talk about Ring of Honor a little bit later on. Steve Corino is our guest. We'll sandwich in some Ring of Honor talk while we got Steve on the line. But right now, it's the opportunity for our good pal, JR, to tell us where you can find The Kevin Kelly Show.
Of course, you can find The Kevin Kelly Show in any of the following ways: visiting PlaceToBeNation.com, clicking the Kevin Kelly Show banner, or the PTBN podcast banner on the right-hand side, by subscribing to the Place to Be podcast feed on iTunes, or also visiting Stitcher.com, subscribing to the Place to Be podcast. You can download the Place to Be Nation podcast app by hitting up placetobe.podbean.com/mobile on an iPhone or iPad. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter at @place2bnation and @realkevinkelly, and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/place2bnation. If you have any questions or suggestions for the show, email us at kevinkellyshow@placetobnation.com or tweet at us using #AskKevin.
King of Old School Steve Corino is our guest. Stay with us. The Kevin Kelly Show continues here on the Place to Be Nation.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials run and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on PlaceToBeNation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and... Shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, this sounds terrible. The Titans of Wrestling... Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans of Wrestling are...
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for the show and breakdown matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Pav. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling. You know you want to hear it.
All right, so we're back. The conversation continues here on the Kevin Kelly Show, here on the Place to Be Nation, with my good buddy, my broadcast partner on Ring of Honor Wrestling Television. He's had a 20-year career in professional wrestling, spanned the globe, 79 tours of Japan, but the best thing he's doing right now is the work he's doing at home, and that's Steve Corino. Steve, welcome to the show.
Ah, oh, thanks, KK. You always make me seem way more important than I am.
Well, you are very important, and I was talking in the opening monologue about the changes that people made through their career and through their life. And one of the biggest things that I noticed with Warrior is that at least for the weekend of WrestleMania and for the speech on Raw and for the great statement that his wife made, it really seemed like that they put a lot of what happened in the past in the past, and that they let a lot of the old grudges go and made peace and were making an effort to move forward. And I complimented you for doing the same thing. And I know we talked about this at Last TV. You're a changed man over the last few years. Talk about that. How have you changed? What's different about you over time? Different than the character people might have seen on television or the things that you might have done.
Well, you know what? It's funny that you say that. And that, you know, for people that don't know, we room together a lot on the road now, and it's great. I apologize now that you have to watch TV in the middle of the night.
Yeah, that's kind of got me, but it's got me doing it at home now, so I'm starting to get with it.
This is why Steen dumped me. But I don't think I realized how miserable of a person I was up until, you know, a couple years ago when you know, I had met my wife. And it's just so funny how like times have really changed, and within a 2-3 year period of how different my life was, where, you know, I was doing my thing. I was still, you know, wrestling every weekend and living life, but not living my life. And I mean, that's the best way I could describe it. And with, you know, meeting my wife, and, you know, we had worked together and we were buddies and everything like that, and really didn't realize that we were kind of falling in love as it goes. And now, you know, a couple of years later, I have, you know, she's my wife and my best friend. And, you know, we have a little baby that's, you know, 4.5 months old, and we left Pennsylvania and we started everything new. And we live at the beach in North Carolina. It's absolutely amazing. And, just the transformation, and a lot of it is like I left a lot of hate out. You know, not like, you know, some people deal with like anger and frustration in a destruction way, or sometimes you just got to let it go. And I'm not perfect. I still without looking to my right at my wife right now, I can see she's probably rolling her eyes. Where I'm still not perfect. Where I still have like, yeah, my inner anxiety and, you know, I get frustrated with myself, but, you know, I'm no longer frustrated with like the people that have, you know, maybe have done me wrong. And, you know, it just seems like I have more of a positive outlook, not only on professional wrestling. I'm certainly not as paranoid as I used to be. And Kevin could tell everybody, like, you know, I literally felt like from the second that, you know, Sinclair Broadcasting took over, I felt like I was dead man walking. Because, you know, sometimes you need a reassurance. Some people need a reassurance. And I believe that I was that type of person, that I needed a reassurance every once in a while that, you know, I was still, you know, okay to do what I do. And, you know, now I found a place to where, you know, I don't complain. I don't, you know, I'm just in a good place. And I feel more, you know, like a leader now, even in the locker room.
That's one thing I'm noticing too, Steve, is that you're stepping up in a positive way, in a positive mindset with so many of the young guys now, and it's really paying dividends because these young guys are starting to blossom right before our eyes. The Cedric Alexanders, the Adam Page, Andrew Everett, Corey Hollis, the list goes on and on. And even guys like Michael Bennett that you've had occasion to work with. You know, there's a lot of these young guys now are leaning on you and getting good advice, whereas maybe a couple of years ago, you might not have been in the mental position to dispense that advice because you were kind of struggling with your own path. But now that you're doing this work And thanks to Jordan for all of that, because again, without her, none of this would be possible.
I agree. Yeah.
But now you're able to do this, and I'm really seeing the dividends. Again, I try to take that, 10,000 foot view and step back and look and go, damn, this Carino, what a difference. Holy mackerel. This is awesome. Yeah.
And I never realized how miserable of a person I must have come off as. And I always thought I was the veteran and everything, but I didn't realize maybe I was the bitter vet for a little bit, where I wasn't trying to come off like that. And the reality was that I wanted to help guys like Michael Bennett out and Michael Elgin out. But maybe the selfishness was I wanted a little recognition from the fans that hey, look, this guy's, losing without getting his leg hooked by Mike Bennett 700 times, in a 4-month thing. Or, look at the former ECW champion, being so willing to put over the next big star, and I wasn't getting it. And, that was my own demon that was where the respect of the boys, is so important to me. But, the respect of the fans is something that sometimes I feel I never really got. And it wasn't until I became the full-time commentator with you that I finally start feeling maybe they do respect me. And we laugh about it when I come out at the beginning of the show.
Oh yeah. Deafening Road Warrior pop. For those of you that don't understand the insider lingo, that was a famous joke inside the business. But when Steve comes out, I always make sure that he comes out and he gets these really thunderous ovations for a guy that was a villain his entire career and was hated. But the people love Steve. The people love you when you come out, and they love you on commentary.
And, I have to thank you for so much, because, you have, taken me as, as a student, and you're showing me a whole different aspect of the wrestling business, where, I have been an in-ring performer for so long, and now, being, outside the ring and sitting at the table. But, a lot of people don't realize this is something you've told me, for a long time. You should, start to think about getting a commentary or something, because people don't want to see me wrestle anymore, but they want to hear me talk. And right. I guess that's always been my thing. And,
I maintain that, Steve, that people don't want to see you get beat up anymore, that you've given enough to us and we've seen enough, and now we like you and we want to make sure that you stay with us and stay healthy, but you're damn funny and entertaining. So please be entertaining, but don't fall down anymore. We don't need to see that.
Yeah. And what's funny is I don't miss it at all.
No,
I sit there and I watch these amazing athletes, and I'm not ringing the corporate bell here, but I watch these amazing athletes like Roderick Strong and Adam Cole and Jay Briscoe, Michael Elgin, Kevin Steen and Cedric Alexander. And, and Mike Bennett, and I'm just amazed, because here I am, a lifelong fan of professional wrestling, a 20-year in-ring competitor. And now I get to sit literally at ringside, watch some of the greatest wrestling that I've ever seen. And I get to call it, I used to be, and this is outing myself a lot here, but I used to be a nerdy kid that would take my action figures, and depending on where I was in my room was what arena I was in. And I would practice, commentating and stuff like that. But I never thought it could be a job that I would be, even considered for. And I was just, so thankful that, Hunter and Sinclair Broadcasting had, given me the opportunity, and you open arms. You could have held out for a Matt Stryker or, any of the free agent announcers that are out there. But, you've taken me.
I saw the value in Carino at the mic the whole time. That was it. And a lot of that was born. And I'm going to, we got to save some stories for another time. But, again, we had the audition together in WWE, and it was that was where when I started to see that, I was like, I think this would work. I think this would work really well.
So and I knew that back in 2002.
I knew back then. I knew back then that would work. All right. So You said you were the you know, the fan growing up, and I made a point, and I wanted to ask you about this. We were talking earlier on the first segment, and we'll get to your WrestleMania weekend thoughts, and we'll look forward to what's going on with the May and month of May, huge month of May for Ring of Honor, and Steve has a big announcement too about his immediate future, which we'll do in a little bit, but. We talked about the Undertaker streak and the Undertaker streak coming to an end at WrestleMania with Brock Lesnar being the guy to do it. If it would have been a young guy, like, say, a Roman Reigns, for example, would that have become an albatross around his neck? And I said you can look at this a few different ways, and I always wondered if Tommy Rich winning the NWA World title was an albatross around his neck. Now, he was kind of his own worst enemy at times as well. But do you think that is that a fair analogy? How would you put Tommy Rich's world title win in comparison to whether or not a young guy was to be the one to end the streak of The Undertaker?
Well, I could see the comparison, but Tommy Rich was my first favorite wrestler. And I believe, you know, knowing Tommy the way I know Tommy now, is I believe that he could have taken that 4-day world title reign in 81 and ran with it forever. You know, because, you know, back in 79, Dusty had held the title for a week. Then in 81, he had held it again for, you know, just a little bit. And he ran with that. And I think Tommy's extracurricular activities and, you know, living that rock star lifestyle was detrimental to not just Tommy Rich, the person, but it was definitely detrimental to Tommy Wildfire Rich, the character, which then comes off as, you know, the 4-day world title reign ruined his career.
Okay.
On the other hand, like a young guy, I think anybody that was going to end that streak is going to have a stigma to it. And, you know, I was there in top row with my son, and I saw 75,000 people go silent. And I thought, wow, this is crazy. And then thinking about it later and thinking about it a couple weeks even after that, was Brock was the perfect person, because no matter what, fans were going to be mad that the streak was ended. Why not make it to the guy that most, you know, quote unquote, wrestling fans absolutely despise, because they believe that Brock Lesnar doesn't like professional wrestling. And I thought, this guy is now the ultimate, you know, villain, because he not only ended the Undertaker's, you know, unbeatable streak, but this guy hates pro wrestling. So anybody that beats Brock Lesnar now is a hero. And so I see it that way. I think, you know, would I have done it with Roman Reigns? Probably not. I definitely see Roman Reigns as a rock style, you know, charismatic character in the future. I personally thought, and I never saw it was going to be Taker Sting at WrestleMania 31.
Yeah.
I was thinking Taker Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania 31, and maybe that was going to be where the, you know, passing of the torch took place. You know, because Bray Wyatt is so multidimensional in his promos and his work. And, you know, I think he's got the ability that he'll be able to take that character and not only modify it, but evolve with it, just like The Undertaker has done over the past two decades. And I definitely didn't see Brock winning. I thought like a Bray Wyatt would have definitely ended it.
Well, again, the growth of some of the young guys on the WWE roster. I know we talk a lot about the young guys in Ring of Honor. And certainly we see that now with a lot of the younger guys stepping up in the WWE. But you had the, I would say, the complete weekend experience in Louisiana, because you not only got to announce on two big Ring of Honor events, you wrestled on one of the events, and then you attended WrestleMania Live, and you did all of this with your oldest son, Colby, who is now beginning his pro wrestling career. When he wraps up, well, he's already a pro wrestler, but he'll be able to do it more often once he wraps up high school. So talk about that whole experience and what that all kind of meant, because you had so many different perspectives throughout the weekend.
Oh, and it was an amazing weekend. And it's a weekend we've been talking about doing for probably a year or two. You know, he's almost 18 now. Depending on the state you live in, he may claim he's 18, you know, just so he can wrestle. And, yeah, you'll have to ask him about who Hayden Burke is when the next time you see him.
Okay, Peyton Burke. Okay, gotcha.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, we had planned on it, and I thought New Orleans would be a great place to do it because, you know, there's Bourbon Street, and also, you know, Colby's very he's into history, and I'm a history and conspiracy buff, and, of course, Kerry Silkin's the greatest conspiracy buff when it comes to JFK. So I knew we had that little connection there that we could see a couple things. And so not only did we do the Ring of Honor Friday night, then Saturday afternoon we did Ring of Honor again for the television tapings. Saturday night I did WrestleCon. I did the convention and then did the show. And nice easy six-man. It was me, Matt Stryker, and Adam Pearce against Shane Helms, Cassidy Riley, and Luke Hawks.
Okay.
The best part of this was DJ Hyde, CZW owner, says to us and says, "Hey guys, you know, please 10 minutes, do your thing." Well, if you ask us to do our thing, like, you're talking about three talkers in there. Like, we're just one of us going to talk on the mic. And I think all three of us have gotten to that point of our career is I don't know if they wanted to see us bumping around.
Right.
I think they just wanted to see what we could come up with on the microphone to entertain them. So we did that, and then I participated in $5 wrestling later on that night where me and Freight Train got into it a little bit.
What?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I thought maybe you could squash this heat that apparently exists over the $5 wrestling title. I mean, what's going on?
You know, I wanted it. I definitely wanted the $5 wrestling title, but then I guess it went on Big Donnie. And my friend Cliff Compton was there for moral support, but you know he turned on me and cheered for Freight Train, which caught me off my game. And you know I'm a little ashamed to say that Freight Train caught a pinfall victory over me. But it was past midnight. You know I could make excuses until you know
it had been a long day. We had to be at the building early. We had gone to that combination convenience store. Huddle House Casino, which we were there until 2:30 in the morning.
It was one of the best burgers I've ever had, though.
Which one? The first one or the second one?
The second one. Even Mark Briscoe had to get a second one.
That's a good point.
Oh, it was. My wife's looking at it. It was a good burger. Yeah, yes. Huddle House was good. And, you know, of course, wherever you can have a gas station, a Huddle House, and a casino attached, that is poison for today's wrestlers.
Yo.
Yeah, that's right. The new Soma for the 2000s. And so then Sunday morning woke up nice and early to a call from one Gino Colucci.
Oh.
Ran to WrestleCon again. And Saturday night we went to Bourbon Street. And I realized at that point where my life has really changed too, where, you know, I 79 tours of Japan, you know, I have had some drunken nights in Roppongi, and you know I've done Bourbon Street before, but that was 1999, you know, and I realized as I'm getting a few of our unnamed ROH talents in the van, pulling them off the street, you know, one of them dropping an elbow in the middle of the street, and you know doing his best Ric Flair impersonation, not naming names. And I thought to myself, I go, this guy walked up to me in the bar and he's like, "Oh, I'm a big fan." He goes, "How's it feel to know that you're their dad?" I went, "Oh." And I realized, and it all came full circle, that I'm now Jack Victory. Yeah. I'm in the Jack Victory role where I'm like, I felt it a little bit when I was with Kevin Steen, and, you know, I would talk to him about matches and, you know, still do my thing. And, you know, now I'm really in that Jack Victory role, which is not a bad role because, you know, Jack Victory is one of the coolest people I've ever met. So, you know, now I think I got in at 5 a.m. and I was back at WrestleCon at 9. And, you know, our hotel for Ring of Honor was out, I don't know, Pensacola somewhere.
Yeah.
And, so like we do WrestleCon, I am tired and it's now WrestleMania time. And, we are sitting up in the 600 level, and we are, I mean, literally on the top row, and it is great. I'm sitting there, and, you know, it felt so cool to be a fan again. I hadn't been to a WWE show that I hadn't worked on since 1991.
Wow.
Yeah, and the main event was Hogan Flair at the Spectrum on a matinee card.
Jeez.
And so here I was, and I said to myself, you know what? I'm going to be a fan. I'm just going to enjoy it. I knew Hogan was going to be first, but me and Colby, who's, you know, a huge wrestling fan, you know, I'm like, oh, I'd love to hear the glass break, you know? And he's like, well, Rock's in town too. And there we got it right in the first segment. And, you know, we were like, he's 17, I'm 40, like, but we were kids. Like, we were jumping up and enjoying, like, you know, we were with Gino Colucci and a couple other the young wrestlers. And there were, no one cared that it was Steve Corino up there. They, you know, they, I think they were happy that I was, you know, enjoying it.
Right.
And we got to, you know, we got to watch, we got to, you know, when Cesaro wins and comes in, it just does my heart good. And to see, you know, Brian and Seth and, you know, all these guys that have come through Ring of Honor that I've had a chance to hang out with and work with and, you know, not that I was a part of their career, but, you know, they were a part of mine, and it was just so cool. And then to have that time with Colby, then, you know, when they did the Hall of Fame, and I, you know, I said, man, I will lose it if they play Warriors music. And they played Warriors music. We had watched the Hall of Fame speech, because we had heard like all this 40-minute speech, and, you know, me being a family guy, bless you, me being a family guy, like, it just touched me. And like, I ended up respecting Warrior more than I ever had, you know, because I wasn't a huge fan of his work. I was a heel fan. I was Tully Arn, you know.
I said the same thing in the open, that I was never a Warrior fan. I was a Ric Flair fan, and that's who I liked. Yes. I liked Tully. Yes. I liked the Horseman. And Warrior was, yeah, he wasn't my guy. Wasn't my thing.
He became my guy when I saw that speech, when, like, the thing he said, like, the most awesome thing he'll ever do is be, like, his girl's dad's. I went, oh, man, this is a good dude. And, you know, I loved it. And, yeah, for, you know, and Colby had texted me. He stayed an extra day with Cedric Alexander, and they went to Raw. And he had texted me after the Warrior speech, and he said, wow, what a great speech. He goes, little creepy. He goes, but really, really cool to sit here. And then next day, you know, he passes away. And I thought, wow, it's so unfortunate that he died. And then I thought, how fortunate was it that I got to spend those moments with, you know, my teenage son.
That's the thing. And, you know, I look back at, I see a lot of pictures of you throughout your professional career with Colby, whether it was, you know, domestic events or then tours overseas or wherever it was, he was perpetually by your side. And I think there was a part of me that always wondered, well, how long is this going to last, this novelty of Steve being a dad? And it never wore off. Like, and that was always inspirational to me, your relationship with Colby. Now you have a brand new son. You're starting over again at 40. How is that going to be? I mean, are you, it's obviously going to be a different track because you're a different person now, but anything that you're going to do differently with your new baby, as opposed to what you did with Colby, what do you think is going to happen?
I think it's definitely a different situation, to where, you know, I don't know if Beck is going to be, you know, a wrestling fan, you know, and it's not something, you know, where, you know, I was 23 when Colby was born, and, you know, wrestling was my life. I'd started, you know, 2 years before, and, you know, I was that indie go guy, you know, that I was literally watching wrestling, you know, as much as I could, and, you know, every chance I had. And, you know, I basically was a single father for so long that, you know, Colby, you know, he grew up, that was his Disney, was watching wrestling. Whereas, you know, now that I'm older, and I don't want to say more mature, but, you know, maybe more focused, to where I'll be able to, you know, I don't go to Japan anymore, or I don't go all these places anymore. And I have a stable house. And, whereas, you know, I'll be able to be more of a, I don't know, nurturer, and, you know, I could be there more for Beck, you know, whether it's him playing Little League baseball or, you know, school projects and stuff like that. I won't be the absentee dad. And I had this conversation with Colby, and I said, hey, look, like, I feel bad that, like, I'm going to actually be in Beck's life more than I was yours. And he said, no way. He goes, think about all the places that I've been, Dad. He goes, I've been to Japan 5 times. I've been to England. I've been all over Scandinavia. And Germany and Canada and Puerto Rico. And he goes, I've gone to all these places that, you know, I wouldn't have gotten to go to if you were just the normal milk guy that you were when, you know, before you became a wrestler. And I thought, oh, wow, it's going to be so different that, like, Colby grew up in the wrestling business where Beck is, you know, I'm on my end part where now I'm more of a television personality as opposed to an in-ring performer.
Right. We got to make a lot of money so we can make sure that you get, you know, you take care of your beautiful wife and your brand new baby, and we don't have to worry about traveling to Milwaukee or wherever it is you're wrestling these days.
Yeah, right. You know, I got a Europe tour next week.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
See, it's got to be walking and talking when you get over there. That's what the European fans is like, right? Hey,
they realize once I put that microphone down, I lose a star or two.
We do Twitter Q&A every week here on the show. Hashtag Ask Kevin. Bauer Sox, our good buddy, wants to know memorable match. Like to know what Steve's most memorable match would have been, or maybe his greatest moment from his ECW days.
You know, a lot of people, you know, assume that, you know, winning the ECW World Championship was like my greatest thing ever. And I mean, that was great, but you know, if you don't know the circumstances, it was very stressful. And, you know, I don't know if I had earned it. You know, it was more of, you know, I was a champion of circumstance. To me, the thing that I remember and I'm so proud of was the Dusty Rhodes feud.
Right.
You know, I definitely think when I came into ECW and I had the old school character, you know, I was feuding with Taz on television and then Dreamer on the house shows, and I was getting heat and people hated me, but they weren't old school guys. I was talking about old school, but they weren't old school guys. They were ECW guys. When Dusty Rhodes came into ECW, he legitimized my character. And, you know, then we had that match in March of 2000 with the bull rope. And, you know, that's where I really felt like, wow, I've arrived. And that was always my greatest memory of ECW.
That certainly was very memorable. I mean, we talked about that recently. And our other pal, Stephen J. Sutton, who writes recaps of Ring of Honor and does a lot of great work here on Place to Be Nation, he wondered, and you kind of touched on this, is it hard making the transition from in-ring action to color commentary? And I'll ask it like this. The mind, of course, might see things that the young guys are doing wrong and you might want to fix or correct. Or does any of that creep into your head when you're sitting there watching it?
There's times when, you know, sometimes they're going at it so hard that, you know, I just want to jump in the ring and go, guys, come on, relax, you know, don't hurt each other. And, you know, for example, the brutality of Adam Cole and Jay Briscoe at Ladder War 5,
yeah,
you know, towards the end, I felt more somber because they're both my buddies. And, you know, those guys were beating, you know, the living heck out of each other for the entertainment of the fans. I mean, they really put it all on the line, and I felt bad. But the transition's been, you know, literally saying to myself, hey, you're not a wrestler anymore, you know, according to Ring of Honor. You're not. You don't bring your gear. You're not on the trampoline looking for one last match. You know, this is a totally new thing. And in the beginning, it was be as witty as possible. And maybe my wittiness was overshadowing my insecurity of, okay, now I got to learn what I'm going to be. And I ask you all the time. To me, I can see myself as sure witty and a little bit humorous. And I don't really try to be. It's something natural and sophomoreish about me, but I also want to be more of a John Madden too, where I can analyze as a veteran wrestler what is going on in the ring, whether it be explaining how the ring is made and why it hurts every time that we bump, or, you know, are the mindset of the rule breaker over the fan favorite, it's just a work in progress. And, you know, I hope, like, we keep talking about, we're hitting our stride a little bit. You know, I still believe I have so much to learn and so much to, you know, you know, come up with in, you know, getting feedback from fans and other people in the wrestling industry, and you know, especially you, is, okay, I think what we're doing now is really good, but I think what we're going to be doing now and say June is going to be different. And then what right. we're going to be doing August and what we're going to be doing next May and everything like that, to where I, you know, we get the compliments, and I get it on Twitter all the time, and people don't realize how, like, it puts a smile on my face, and, you know, I feel undeserving of it, but, you know, we get the gorilla in the brain comparison a lot, and man, that was my favorite duo.
Sure.
As commentators, and like nowadays, you don't really think of it. You think of, you know, it was Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler. Okay, they were a crew, but you don't really think of JBL, Michael Cole, Jerry Lawler as, you know, the Three Amigos or something like that, you know. Whereas now people that are watching regularly on Ring of Honor television are like Kevin Kelly and Steve Corino, or, you know, that's gorilla in the brain right there. And that's, I think, the greatest compliment.
It is, and I truly am sincerely appreciative of all those comments and compliments of you as well, because this is not just something where you're just sitting behind the microphone and putting on the headset and going, okay, I'm just going to be funny, or I'm just going to be whatever. No, it's work, and we're actually putting work into this, and it's different work than anything else. You're going to have opportunities to relay some of that, you know, commentary skill on a couple of big events coming up in the month of May. Perhaps more than ever before, Steve, I am going to need you in Toronto on May 10th at Global Wars and May 17th for War of the Worlds, because you have 79 tours of Japan under your belt. I've never left the continental United States. I need help.
Oh, I'm there for you, pal.
You know these stories. You know these guys personally. You know all of the ins and outs of what we're going to see at these two big events. Give me just sort of that big overview thought, like when this announcement was first made, and what are you really looking forward to seeing?
You know, 5 years ago, I would have thought, like, oh, my God, who – are they going to put me up against? Are they going to put me up against one of the New Japan guys? Oh, am I good enough for everything? You know, when I had heard the announcement, and, you know, I'm not privy to, like, all inside information. I basically find out when everybody else does. And when I found out that we're going to do the two shows in Toronto and New York City with New Japan Pro Wrestling as an announcer, man, I was excited, because a lot of these guys, whether it be Nakamura, Tanahashi, and Okada, and Liger, you know, I know the backstory, because, you know, I started in Japan in 2001, and, you know, one of my best friends, Shinya Hashimoto, he's a New Japan original, you know, going through the dojo with, you know, part of the Three Musketeers with Muda and Chono. Like, you know, I wasn't just a wrestler that would go over for 79 tours. I had worked in the office. You know, he was a personal friend of mine. Yoshiyuki Nakamura, the general manager, was a personal friend of mine. He was the general manager of New Japan for 15 years. And, you know, being a friend of Ricky Choshu's eventually. And knowing the stories of how Nakamura was, you know, how he had started, and Tanahashi, and the things that made them click to the Japanese fans, is something that I think we need to stress to the you know, the American and Canadian fans. And there's always been that stigma of what a Japanese wrestler is. Every wrestler has a story, and I just believe that over the years that Japanese wrestlers haven't become as popular in the United States because the announcers haven't been either allowed, or they just didn't know the backstory to make them personable to, you know, an American public. And I think, you know, May 10th and May 17th, that's going to be the opportunity for myself, you, Nigel McGuinness, to really, you know, be analysts. You know, I don't know how many snarky comments I can throw in about New Japan Pro Wrestling when, you know, it's something that I've studied for so long. And I really am looking forward to, like, educating, you know, the fans about these great athletes and what their stories are, because we know the story of a Michael Elgin and a Roderick Strong and a Kevin Steen and an Adam Cole and a Briscoe brothers, you know, but we want to know the stories of why Nakamura is the way he is, why Tanahashi is the John Cena of New Japan, why, you know, Okada's the guy, and, you know, and a little bit of the backstory that maybe Japanese fans aren't privy to.
And I think part of what we're going to do by doing this is that, listen, it's no shock as to why both companies are working together, because it's mutually beneficial for each other. They're very friendly. They get along. The front offices get along. But again, New Japan wants exposure in North America. They want exposure in the English speaking world. They want exposure. And part of that has to be us as the conduit, and you more specifically, telling those stories and being able to relate why, and we'll save this for the broadcast, but why Tanahashi? What were the circumstances that led to him becoming such a big star that he is now? And it's not what you think if you don't know
the story. And it's an amazing story, right? I've told you the story. And it's an absolutely amazing story that's going to blow people's mind.
Right. And those are the types of things that New Japan is looking for. And of course, Ring of Honor is looking for that big global presence and the ability to sell tickets. And I mean, look at the advances are already huge. Both events are already sold out. And they're going to be record setters for the company. So, of course, that's the reason why we want to do it. And we also want to improve our relationship with New Japan so that it paves way for guys like Michael Elgin and others who want to compete in Japan to have that opportunity to do so. So it's mutually beneficial. But I think your role is really critical on May the 10th and May 17th. I'm looking forward to that. Now, Steve, we just have a couple minutes left. So I do want to give you the opportunity, because I said in the my little Twitter tweet tease for this week that I have two major announcements, and one is yours. So why don't you go ahead and let folks know what's going to be up next for Steve Corino here in the, you know, in the world of podcasting.
Well, thank you. I'm glad I get to announce it here. Starting next week, we're going to start taping the Steve Corino Show, and it's going to be a weekly podcast, and it's not just going to be about wrestling. It's going to be about baseball, comedy, movies, politics, and we'll throw a bit of wrestling in there, and it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be very light. We're gonna laugh a lot. If you like comedy and you like stories and you like seeing a different side of wrestling personalities and maybe even some comedy personalities, some baseball personalities, I think you're really going to love the show. And I just threw together a Twitter. I haven't announced it yet, so only Rob Dimension is following it. But you can go at Steve Corino Show on Twitter. Follow it. I want people that have listened to this show to follow it. And we're going to update it every week. We're going to have a new guest every week. And my first guest next week is going to be Cliff Compton.
Oh.
People that know Cliff from, Colt Cabana's podcast and his new DVD out, just know he is an unintentionally funny guy. He's one of my wife's favorite personalities, and he's also a huge baseball fan, and he's got some great baseball stories. And, starting next week, and, Kevin, I hope to have you on my show, and it's going to be a lot of fun, and we're going to have fun. We're going to talk about cooking. We're going to talk about Dancing with the Stars, Total Divas, the following, all the shows that I watch. And, I'm even going to have Rob Dimension on.
I don't believe it.
Yes, I right. Mean, everybody right. Tune out that week. But, you can follow it on Twitter at Steve Corino Show on Twitter, or you could just go to my regular Twitter at King Corino. I'll probably retweet everything anyway. But, I'm very excited for this opportunity, and I thank the guys at Place to Be Nation that they approached me about it. And it's funny, as I had just gotten approached by another company the day before, and I'm like, I don't know. I tell my wife, and my wife's and then when Justin had sent me the message, I said, I do want to do this, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Perfect, and of course you'll be able to follow the Steve Corino Show every week right here on the Place to Be Nation. And Cliff Compton is going to be the first guest, and they will do that next week. Maybe you and Cliff could bury the hatchet over the controversy at $5 Wrestling. I hope you can.
It's really bothered me. Yeah, but he's that guy is an amazing storyteller, and he just doesn't understand. Like he doesn't think that people. He's like, I don't know why people laugh at me. I'm not funny. I'm like, he's one of the funniest guys ever.
The Cliff Compton impression is dead on. You've got it perfect. And of course, we have this weekend. I'll see you in Baltimore. We've got a big event Saturday night. It's an early bell time, 6 o'clock, which is perfect for old guys like you and me.
Oh, this is great. But you go home afterwards. I'm stuck with Gino Colucci in my room.
I know. We're breaking up. I won't be rooming with you this weekend. I'll be hitting the dusty trail right back up here to Dillsburg as quick as I can.
Oh, nice. Hey, I want to wish you real good luck, you know, this week with Future of Honor. I know you worked hard on it. I'm real excited. You know, you're going to have to send some guys my way with the PWF, yeah. You know.
That's the other thing I wanted to talk with you about real quickly before we let you go, because I know you'll talk a lot about this about your show, but you've got a school that you're starting, right? Training,
yes,
that you're going to be working with, and you're also going to be running events as well. Give the fans a little sneak peek at what's that's all about.
A little backstory, you know, 2001, myself, Rob Dimension, Brian Regal started the Premier Wrestling Federation. We ran it for a couple of years in Pennsylvania, switched it over to Pro Wrestling World One when we were doing stuff with 01. And, you know, over the years, it was really small and, you know, we'd run little events here and there. And then, you know, moving to North Carolina, I live on the Crystal Coast. And if you know the Crystal Coast, it's a resort town. And, you know, wrestling is non-existent here, but people love wrestling. And I thought, you know what? There's so many young guys out there. And once again, in that mentorship role that I'd like to be in. I thought, you know what, let's bring the PWF back, but down here in North Carolina and, you know, put on some good shows for like the fans. It's going to be very family friendly based. And, you know, it's going to be a lot of young guys. You know, both of us are a big fan of Moose. You know, Moose will be appearing for me on Friday night, May 16th, right before, you know, the big ROH New York show. And, you know, I'm very excited because there's a little buzz around this area because, you know, you'll hear old ladies say, I haven't seen wrestling since 1975. And, you know, Mr. Wrestling 3, oh, man, I used to know Mr. Wrestling 2. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, this is going to be so much fun. And like minor league baseball, I equate the PWF to minor league baseball, you know, $10 tickets for adults, $5 for kids. And you know what? I'm trying to get these guys ready to be confident enough to hit an ROH training camp, you know, get them ready and try and get them TV ready. And that's going to be the goal and have some fun. And you know, I'm really looking forward to it. If people want to check it out, it's prowrestlingpwf.com and the Twitter is at PWF Legacy. And, you know, follow it. And there'll be a little web TV show that these college kids from Wilmington, North Carolina are going to do for us. And, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Wow, that's fantastic. So we'll be able to see this online. We'll be able to follow the path of these young stars as they make their way along the way. That's fantastic news. And so we'll talk about that Saturday. I'll give you all I'll get the K5 report all polished up from Newville Friday night with the Future of Honor show.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. It's a heck of a card.
I know, it's stacked. And by the way, there's a lot of trash talking about the main event with Adam Cole and Delirious, just so you know. But
you can't understand that. You can't understand Delirious, though.
Yeah, I just pulled my headset, Mike, a headset out of there, Steve. So, you know, listen, when you're a podcasting professional like you, I'm sure those things don't ever happen. You know, but with me here, it was just, you know, it's only my seventh show.
I don't know. I've always been a co-host to let Rob Dimension do everything. This one's going to be tough. And my producers who are listening along with us to really, really kick some butt with this.
They better step up. All right, my friend. I'll see you Saturday in Baltimore. And Steve Carino, thanks for joining us here on the Kevin Kelly Show.
Thanks, Kevin.
But at Steve Carino's show is going to be a must listen each week here on the Place to Be Nation starting next week. And we're very excited about that. Also, very excited. We've got a lot of good things going on here on the Place to Be Nation right now. There was tons of good coverage all about WrestleMania. And I'm really expanding my pop culture horizons by spending more time on the site, believe it or not. I'm not a comic book guy, but if I was, I would... be on the site, movie talk, all kinds of different things, in addition to just really great analysis and reflection and thoughts and words about pro wrestling. Great podcasts as well. So the Place to Be Nation is really looking up. And we have a second major announcement. The first announcement was that Steve Carino is going to be hosting his own podcast here on the Place to Be Nation. But the second announcement we'll make right now, and it relates to this show, that in 2 weeks on the 30th, our guest is going to be none other than Diamond Dallas Page. DDP is going to join us in 2 weeks, and I know that one of the reasons why I wanted to definitely talk with Page, I have such great respect for him. In the back of my mind, when I came up with the concept of this show, Finish Strong, okay? Finish Strong was as I told you in the first few episodes, it was centered around kind of the lesson in church, okay? It was what the preacher was talking about. But in the back of my mind, I also thought about DDP. Because when he broke his neck and then he started to do yoga to rehabilitate, and that's why I like the interview with Hanson, I thought was so important, because Hanson talked about how he rehabbed and how when all he could do was barely move, he was doing yoga. That's what Paige did. That's what DDP did. And now DDP yoga is really growing. And DDP was also put in an unenviable spot of having to appear on, of being asked to appear on the Nancy Grace show when it was absolutely shameful. JR, and I know that.
Let's save that for a minute. We got something coming up with her.
Yeah. But again, so DDP is going to be our guest in 2 weeks. And obviously there will be a lot of questions. Ask Kevin Kelly, hashtag ask Kevin. Okay. And we'll do as many questions as we can. We have a limited time with DDP because he's on a tight schedule. His time is managed by people. If it was just us talking.
Many people.
Oh, my gosh. The email train was ridiculous. You know, if it was just DDP and us talking, we could probably, you know, spend hours doing it. And he's a great storyteller. And I want to ask him about Jake. I want to ask about Scott. I want to ask him about Warrior. I want to ask him about his reflections of being there that weekend. And it's really exciting.
And we need to give a shout out to Ben Morse, PlaceMeNation.com staff member, was able to get us in touch with the PR people over there. So Ben deserves a lot of credit for getting us up and running with this thing.
Attaboy, Ben. So DDP here on in 2 weeks. JR, you better be on your P's and Q's that night.
Oh, I'm going to be on my P's and Q's. Don't worry. Big
star.
I can't wait. I just ordered my second shipment of DDP yoga. I've had one, the first part, for 2 years now and needed to mix it up a little bit. And last week I went on and ordered the next set. So,
all right, we're going to do trending stories here in a minute, but I want to talk to you about this DDP yoga thing.
Sure.
What do you get when you order it?
Well, there's all different packs, right? So I didn't buy it. There's like a combo. You get everything, which for some reason I didn't do 2 years ago. I don't know why. I cannot even think back to why I would not have just gotten the whole thing. With the first set I bought, you get two DVDs with, I think, seven different workouts or six different workouts. You also get like his guide, the little book with the meal plans and different suggestions and tips there. You get MP3 copies of the DVD, so if you want to take them on the road, if you don't need to watch, you know, if you can, once you do it enough times, if you hear the cues, you know where to head. So you get those, and also I got a personal call from Diamond Dallas Page 2 years ago to call me and give me some motivation to you know, thank me for ordering the system and ask me why I was doing it and everything else. So that was really
cool.
Wait
a minute, he personally called you?
He calls people that buy it on randomly selects numbers and he gives them a call to talk about it. We talked for like 15 minutes.
Holy crap!
Yeah, it was really cool. Great customer service, I'll tell you. He won me as a fan. And as a loyal member of DDP Yoga Nation with that. And it's great. I mean, my wife really enjoys it. I enjoy it. Even my daughter, who's two, will do it sometimes with me, you know, only for a few minutes at a time, but she'll do some of the poses. And it's a great workout for guys that need to get back into working out. And if you already work out a lot, it's a great supplement. You know, so if you already go to the gym a few times a week, but there's a couple nights you can't go, it's good to build up a little bit of a sweat. And you'll definitely notice, you know, build up some muscle and balance and stretching. I mean, I can bend right down and put my hands under my toes and straighten my legs. I can do all that, which I never could do. So I definitely highly recommend it. If you got $100 bucks or so to drop and you're looking for something to help you work out at home and you can't get to the gym, the highest recommendation from JR.
Well, that's great. So if you're a fat slug like me who does very little, there could be hope.
Now, if you order the Hulk, yes. Well, you need to order the Hulk Hogan set to get the tanning bed that you need as well.
What is it with you? By the way, we had beautiful spring-like weather, summer-like weather this weekend. Man, I got sunburned. It was awesome.
Like Seamus out there. Today was awful. I had to scrape ice off my fucking windshield today.
Today was rough. By the way, a little love breaking news here on the show. A little love on the ROH Newswire. Let's go to this. The voice of Ring of Honor, Kevin Kelly, records a new podcast every other Wednesday, found at placetobenation.com. Kevin's guests have included world champion Adam Cole, the phenomenal one AJ Styles, Michael Bennett, Hansen, and more. Check out the Kevin Kelly Show today.
All right. Today. Booyah. Check it out.
Check it out. So thanks to the folks at Ring of Honor for a little mention there. And there's also words about the New Japan camp, which is coming up. Holy mackerel. The applications that we've been getting for this thing. It's 2 days. Go to ROHWrestling.com. Read the Newswire. If you want to sign up for this thing, you better be. You want to talk about being in shape, brother. You better be ready to go. Because this is an opportunity to try out for Ring of Honor and for New Japan the 12th and 13th of May in Bristol, PA. So, all right, enough of that. I'm looking forward to Diamond Dallas Page being on the show in 2 weeks. Maybe there is hope for me yet in terms of getting my act together. There's been a lot of talk through 7 episodes, not a lot of action, but I'm not giving up yet. All right, let's do some trending stories here because it's time. Everyone loves the trending stories, JR. What's first?
The U.S. Airways employee responsible for sending out a pornographic tweet on Monday will not be fired, the company said, because it was a mistake. If only we all had such understanding employers, Kevin. A link to a pornographic image that was included in a tweet from U.S. Airways when replying to a customer complaining about airline service on Twitter, the link should have led to a webpage where customers can submit complaints. Instead, the link led to a lewd image that was initially posted in a tweet sent to U.S. Airways from another Twitter user. U.S. Airways flagged that tweet as inappropriate, but the employee that inadvertently included a link to the image of the U.S. Airways tweet. It was an honest mistake and done while capturing the tweet and flagging as inappropriate as our standard procedure. Kevin, I will first ask you, did you see this tweet? Did you see the picture?
I did see the picture, yes.
It was interesting.
It was gross.
It was.
But it did make me laugh because, you know, how could you not laugh at something like that? And I did think of my good friend, referee Gino Colucci, who's a flight attendant, not for U.S. Airways, but, you know.
I think the worst had to be the poor people. Like, sites like Deadspin just fucking had it in the article. And so there were people clicking on that at work, and it was like pulling up this obscene picture. I saw people tweeting that they were preemptively telling their employers what happened so they weren't. You know, if any surveillance was going on, they weren't seen looking at that or anything.
True. There, you know, and there was a virus one time somehow. I don't know what it was. We got a hold of it in WWE and we were pranking people with it in the kind of the modular that they had. They had a big double wide, triple wide modular that was all set up. So we all had offices in there and it was fun. It was if you did something, you click on this link and it will take you to this picture of this celebrity. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden this thing would take over your computer and no matter what volume your speaker was at for your desktop, it would come out blaring loud. I'm into gay porn. I'm into gay porn over and over again.
Jesus.
And you had to turn your computer off to make it go away. So we're sitting there. Okay, we just sent them the link, peeking over the wall. Is he going to? Oh, he's looking at it. He's looking at it. And then all of a sudden, I'm into gay porn. I'm into gay porn. Just over and over and over again. And that was an HR meeting.
I mean, the worst part about this U.S. Airways thing, too, is that it was up for like an hour on Monday before anyone noticed. There were people telling them to take it down and everything. And there was just sitting there. And they were awfully quiet for quite a while. But
let me ask you this. Do you think that really seriously... Isn't that the type of these viral guerrilla campaigns that happen now? You know, I don't know. Something like that. Oops, it was an accident. But isn't that business? Isn't that the way to build likes?
So you think they did it on purpose, huh?
I'm wondering. I don't know. I don't trust anybody when it comes to stuff like this. You don't accidentally send that out.
Mm.
You don't. And then the person isn't fired. That's where it just screams to me, there's something going on here.
Wouldn't it have been more fitting for Virgin Airlines to do it?
Oh!
Yeah. All right, next story.
What's the next story?
Huh. No Division I college athlete, Kevin, should ever go to bed starving again. Following a meeting of its legislative council on Tuesday, the NCAA announced the removal of meal and snack restrictions on Division I athletes, according to NCAA Associate Director of Communications Michelle Brutlag-Hosek. Whereas previously student-athletes were afforded only 3 meals per day, they will now have unlimited access to meals provided by on-campus facilities. The privilege will extend to walk-on athletes as well. Today, we took action to provide meals for our student-athletes incidental to participation. Of course, this all comes from UConn's guard and Final Four most outstanding player, Shabazz Napier, making headlines when he said he goes to bed hungry some nights because he's not able to eat, but I still got to play up to my capabilities. Poor Shabazz, Kevin. Poor Shabazz. Yeah.
Poor Shabazz.
I guess the money they paid him to go to UConn was spent elsewhere, not on
That's another shot across the bow. This, of course, goes into the conversation about whether or not college athletes should be paid. Mm-hmm. Northwestern athletes voting to unionize, which is never going to go anywhere because it would only work. What?
May Jesse Ventura will lead the
Jesse Ventura, but yeah, right. He could crusade that one. It'll never happen because public universities will never adhere to it. Private universities might be forced. Okay, great. It's never going to go anywhere. Should college athletes have free reign to eat whatever they want? Have you seen, let me tell you something. Have you seen, you heard of the Freshman 15? It's not just from late night pizza and beer. It's from, you know, when you get that meal card.
Oh, yeah.
You eat whatever you want.
Well, yeah, you get the unlimited French fry. I mean, my mind blew when I realized I could drink as much Dr. Pepper as I wanted for free. I mean, it was just like, it was a mind-blowing experience.
Yeah. Now, these guys are athletes and girls. They're athletes. So they'll be training and working out. But have you seen some of the sizes of these offensive linemen?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they need to be mindful of what they're eating, you know, 3 meals a day. Now it's unlimited. Be careful. So I guess we don't have to worry about, accepting pasta as a gift. You know,
right, yes.
They can't be punished for, you know, cream cheese.
He gave him a box of Nature Valley granola bars. You're fired.
That's it. He's out.
That,
Shabazz, give me a break.
Yeah, right. I'm sure he's been bed hungry many nights. I'm sure he's had plenty to eat, just like Rob Ford. But what... You're right. Ready for our last
story? I love this so much. I can't wait. This is trending story number 3 this week here on the Kevin Kelly Show.
Do you know this song, Kevin, by The Beat?
Yeah, it's a girl.
Here we go.
That's the thing that they did.
We're going to let it play for a second. We're going to let it play for a second.
Oh, I'm a bitch?
Wrestling fans and General Nancy Grace non-fans were up in arms Thursday over her on-air remarks for the sudden death of the Ultimate Warrior, during which she rattled off a list of the sports fallen. That, at least she certainly appears to be implying, died young because of possible steroid use. I'm a bitch, I'm a lover, I'm a child, I'm a mother, I'm a sinner, I'm a saint. I don't get any facts right. Ultimate Warrior born James Brian Helwig died Tuesday, just days after being inducted to the Hall of Fame and appearing on WrestleMania 30. Collapsed while hit his wife for walking to the car outside of Arizona Hotel, pronounced dead at nearby hospital. So many wrestlers dead, Grace said to in-studio guest Diamond Dallas Page. Now, accusations of steroids and illegal drugs are swirling, Dallas. Take a look at the wrestlers who have died young. As she did that, a scrolling graphic displayed names of wrestlers including Rick McGraw, Buzz Sawyer, and Owen Hart. We all used it back in the day, Paige said, frankly, regarding steroids. He said, the Ultimate Warrior didn't look nearly as big as he used to, and he had just seen the man, and he looked great. In addition to the implication about the Ultimate Warrior, the inclusion of the list of Hart, who died in a freak accident in 1999, immediately sent those in the know rushing to Twitter, where Cancel Nancy Grace became a national trending topic. Kevin, what's this bitch got going on?
I don't know. Listen, it's what she is. It's exactly what she is.
Useless hate monger.
Well, yeah. And again, that's the show. That's the act. You know, the guy who was the comic who had the ventriloquist dummy that was on ONA all the time, Otto, just passed away, right? You don't listen to anything on Sirius or XM.
I have Sirius and XM, but I do not listen to Opie Anthony or Howard Stern that much. My wife loves Howard Stern.
It had a ventriloquist. It was a ventriloquist act.
Okay.
And very early on, and his career, he died at 53. It was terrible. But very early on, you know, he realized he needed to be crass. He worked extremely blue. Told some of the most off-color jokes you could ever imagine. All through this dummy. All through the ventriloquist dummy. You knew what you got when you paid a ticket to go see him.
Mm-hmm.
You should know what you're getting when you appear on or watch Nancy Grace.
Right.
That's been her act since day one. Now, she also had in that list Brian Hildebrand, referee, mm-hmm. who died of stomach cancer.
She's obviously never seen Brian Hildebrand if she's accusing him of doing steroids.
He was 105 pounds
right?
soaking
I mean,
wet.
Tiny, great guy, but tiny guy. Oh,
yeah, just I never met him personally, but Jim Cornette, that was his best friend. And,
yeah.
And I heard so many great Brian Hildebrand stories over the years.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, Joey Morella, who died in a car accident, Gorilla Monsoon's son. There were serious problems with this list. You got to check your facts, okay? But she gets a microscopic audience, and she deals in this, you know, tabloid to the extreme. It's like back in the day when Morton Downey Jr. was doing his thing. It's the exact same deal. So if you're somebody like DDP, you can't go on a show like Nancy Grace. It's trash.
Right.
You can't expect truth or facts from someone like her because that's not what she's dealing with. She's dealing with the absolute lowest common denominator, shock value, anything she can say to possibly get a rating. And her ratings are microscopic. If they were good, she would be on CNN because CNN has no ratings either. They're desperate for anything that would attract an audience.
It says she's on TNA. The only good thing is that in the last 7 years, now, because remember, she was heavy with all the Benoit stuff.
Right.
Big time. And, you know, people bought into it. But I think over the last 7 years, people have kind of realized what she is and that she's full of shit. So I feel like no one's really buying it this time around.
Yeah,
like, no one saw this and said, oh, my God, she's right. Like, the Benoit stuff, people were, like, buying all her. She was doing it every night.
Cornette went wild, and everybody on Twitter went crazy.
Right.
And so that's the reason why. You know, I wrote one thing and I just was trying to be funny. But the idea of don't pay this bitch any mind is right. probably the best course of action. You know, I don't know. But again, when you shine, right. And I think, like you said, people are smart to her now and they were not going to when, you know, her attempt to drag wrestling in the mud or whatever, get sensationalistic ratings based upon this, you know, the death of the Ultimate Warrior. People saw right through it, like you said, and that's a good thing. They were not going to fall to her nonsense again. So, but we still, within this industry, we need to continue to educate. We need to continue to help and guide and I feel good about where things are. It's not where it needs to be, but I feel good about where things are in terms of the young guys in this business. So we're all trying to do our part, you know, because we've seen too many good men die early from drugs. And so we want to make sure that we keep everybody healthy and with us for as long as they can. So we can make fun of them when they become old, crotchety men like Carino. You'll have the opportunity to do that next week on his new show.
Yes, sir.
Right here on the Place to Be Nation. All right, we've got more to come, including a great game we're going to play stock market this week. We've got some Twitter Q&A and more coming up. That was your trending stories for this week. More action to come after this break here on the Place to Be Nation. It's the Kevin Kelly Show.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week, you can join Marcus Vandenberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, this is Ben Morse from Marvel.com, as well as the Brad and Chad Show, and I've got a new podcast. Well, I'm part of a new podcast, Place to Be Nation's Main Event. Hosted by Scott Criscolo every other week, it's a roundtable discussion with myself, Andrew Reich, Steve Willey, Jordan Duncan, and an assortment of special guests as we talk wrestling today, the big questions, and our feelings. Please, please, please check this podcast out, because if the ratings go down, I know I'm the first head on the chopping block for Justin Rosero. See you guys every other week on Place to Be Nation's main event.
I'm Scott Criscolo, and your new home for sports is Place to Be Nation's Extra Point. Join me and the doctor, George Urbelino, for your sports hookup, whether it's NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, colleges, or the Cowboys MMA Blitz.
Forget about it. Plus, join me for my prescription where I will solve all the world's sports problems with my own brand of medicine.
That's Place to Be Nation's Extra Point here on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. In a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Bonehead's also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
All right, we're back on the Kevin Kelly Show here on the Place to Be Nation. As we told you earlier on, Diamond Dallas Page going to be our special guest in 2 weeks. You'll have the opportunity to hear your questions be asked. Just send them along via Twitter and just put the hashtag on it, Ask Kevin. Capitalize the two Ks in the middle, please. We're trying to do a thing there. So DDP questions, what do you want to know from Diamond Dallas Page? Ask those questions in 2 weeks. We'll get them answered right here on the Kevin Kelly Show on the Place to Be Nation. Speaking of Twitter, JR, it's time where we open up the virtual mailbag, as it were, and we go to Twitter and we answer some of the fans' Twitter questions right here on the Kevin Kelly Show. Which one do you think I should start with?
Let's start with this one here from @IamDarcy. Big fan. This one's been on our board for a bit here. What has to happen for another boom period in wrestling? Could ROH and TNA play a role in that next boom? And Kevin, I think this one is very topical because I personally feel like we're on the verge of one.
I do too. And Darcy, that's a very good question. What needs to happen? Okay. First of all, there has to be competition for the WWE. I'm not saying somebody has to beat the WWE. I'm just saying that somebody has to be as good as and an alternative to the WWE.
Let me ask you this before you go further. Have they automatically, unknowingly, unwittingly created their own competition with this network? And by competition, I mean competition with themselves to make this freaking thing succeed, because they put a lot riding on this. So in a way, they need to make the. I think they need to like be on point. Like, these specials need to be hyped, and you know, you would think, well, they're already locked in. They can half ass them, but not really, because you want to get more subscriptions. You want people buying to see these shows. So I think for the rest of the year, they're no longer pay per views now. Specials need to really be jacked up and be really good, and I think that's what's going to end up driving them more than anything in 2014.
Well, and here was the problem. And my only problem with that is okay. Do they put so much focus on shows, specials, et cetera, that the wrestling product suffers? And the only reason I say that is because I was there when the XFL was going on, and I saw how they stretched those kids to the brink. And I mean the production assistants, and I mean the creative folks. And not as much time was being spent on creative on the wrestling stuff, because they were all focused on this XFL thing. Now, do I think this will happen with the network? No. I don't think so at all. So yeah, JR, to your point, they are creating their own competition because they are forcing themselves to be on point. So that is a very good thing. As far as the wrestling and a boom period is concerned, I think wrestling attendance is up across the board. Mm-hmm. I know attendance is up for Ring of Honor. For year over year, show over show, we've had gains in every market, and not just minuscule. I mean, by several hundred. And there's a few factors in there, like AJ Styles. That certainly helps. But overall, when even on shows when Styles isn't there, like in San Antonio, the pretty much the product is hot now. So that's good. Could we have a boom period if there's another company that gets into the mix? JR, we talked off the air a little bit about this Jarrett thing. I don't know. Do you see that as a viable? No. Or?
I mean, it could be successful. I think it would be a long time before they could compete unless they were to bring someone in. I don't even know who. Like, I mean, if he threw millions at Punk, I mean, I don't think Punk would go. But I can't really think of who they could bring in to make the needle move. But I do think, Kevin, another part of why I believe a boom is coming, I feel like we're the closest to mainstream acceptance in the wrestling world, as close as we've been since the Attitude Era. Like, I feel like it's become, and through sites, the efforts of sites like Grantland, you know, I'm not the hugest Bill Simmons fan, but or David Schumacher, but, you know, they're on there and they're making it mainstream. They have podcasts and written articles, and you see more and more celebrities or sportscasters tweet about it. You know, Robert Flores from ESPN does a great job talking about it. And guys we've talked about on the show, Sean Greeny, Dale Arnold, like legitimate sports voices.
Yeah.
Talk about it. And it became a big deal around here, like the Gresh and Zoe show. Andy Gresh and Scott Zolak have a show on the Sports Hub, and they were talking WrestleMania. They did like a whole show about it. On a main Boston sports station. And even ESPN, the WWE reached a deal with them, I don't know if you knew this, to do coverage of their major shows this year. So they had WrestleMania-related stuff on, like, SportsCenter and whatnot. And ESPN's also in play to maybe grab the TV rights. I don't see it happening. But I feel like it's almost becoming to the point again where you can be a wrestling fan and it's not looked at like, oh, God.
And the Twitter rumor is that that they're making a play. ESPN's making a play for Renee Young. So.
Which I don't. If WWE lets her go, I think that'd be a big mistake. I think she's fantastic.
I agree. She's a fresh face, fresh voice, fresh presence. She does lend a lot to it. But the worldwide leader is going to dangle a pretty big carrot.
Well, so. One good point I saw said though she left TSN, which is a major sports network. To come here. So you wonder if, you know, it's kind of the same thing. Is she really going to go back to doing sports when she left it to come do wrestling?
Yeah, but TSN doesn't have what ESPN has to offer. ABC crossover? Come on.
It depends Disney. On how much she likes wrestling. I mean, I'm trying not to be too naive about it, but she seems to really love wrestling. Like, she seems to be a legit wrestling fan, not someone, you know, like a Todd Grisham. Or, you know, Michael Cole came in. I'll say, you know, he's become a lifer now. But guys that didn't grow up as I mean, she seems like a diehard fan growing up.
Yeah, and that's true. And again, to each her own, but it's good to have that conversation, right? It's good to be.
Oh, she'll go on the interview and everything else. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
She'd be stupid not to.
Let me ask you this. This thought crossed my mind last night. I had a sleepless night, and this is one of the crazy thoughts that entered my head. Michael Cole has been in the WWE now for 17 years.
It's absurd, right?
No, it's not absurd at all. Is he a Hall of Famer?
Yeah, I think so. Are we talking about, if we're talking their standards of a Hall of Famer, I'd say yes, he's a lock.
Okay. If we were talking about other Hall of Fame.
No, like Observer or something, he's not going in.
No?
Oh, no.
Why?
Well, I just don't think he's he's a good announcer for WWE, what they want. I mean, if you're looking as an outsider that's just a fan of the sport, I don't think he's any great shakes. I mean, he does what they want him to do very well.
Does he get a knock because he's had to follow JR?
That's part of it, I think. But I also think he's a guy to me that's very entertaining when he's left to his own devices, like when he appears on the JBL show and all that stuff. He's a funny dude. He seems like a nice guy. In that setting, he accomplishes what they want him to accomplish, but listening to him is not always that enjoyable. I'll put it that way.
I don't think he gets the credit that he deserves.
Well, I think he should get credit for doing his job very well. Does he do the job of a wrestling announcer very well? I don't know, because I don't think he gets the opportunity to do so.
Right.
Like, he doesn't get to do what you do.
Oh, no way. Yeah, I
right?
know.
He doesn't even get to do what Mike Tenay does in TNA. You know, he doesn't get to do, and not that Tenay's any great shakes at this point either, but he doesn't get to do with guys like Tony Schiavone used to get to do in WCW, or even that Vince himself used to get to do in the 90s. You know, he doesn't get to talk about whatever he wants to talk about. He's there to play the game, to read the script, and he does it very well. I'm sure it's not easy at all.
Yeah, it's such a, and now it's like a really tough dynamic with this three-man booth.
Right.
I just, it ain't working for me.
King's gonna go. King's
yeah, he's got to go. It's just time. It's just time. Let the king go. Mm-hmm. All right, I just brought that up because I thought it was interesting. And I think I don't see Michael Cole ever getting into the WWE Hall of Fame.
Really?
I don't. Maybe, but not for a really long time.
No, yeah, not for a long time. He'll have to be pretty much done. I mean, JR was pretty much done by the time they put him in. Other announcers are in? We got Gene, Gorilla, King.
Gordon Soley.
Well, King was in more for being a wrestler, I would think. But yeah, Gordon Soley, mm-hmm. Jesse.
Did they put Lance Russell in?
I don't think Lance Russell's in, no.
He should be.
And I don't think they're ever going to do like a Memphis WrestleMania. So,
oh, the King!
I'm not sure when he'll go in.
Tojo Yamamoto!
Maybe they'll do Ed Whalen when they go back to Toronto.
Ed Whalen. I love it. All right. What's next from Twitter questions?
All right. From @BarthMaddie. Any chance, Kevin, of doing a weekly podcast? 2 shows a month isn't enough. I'm greedy.
Was it Barth Maddy or Dan McGrathy? Who wrote this question?
Barth Maddy, a fan.
Give me a break. Let's not get panicky, Barth Maddy. You're lucky you're getting one every two.
I can't believe you've kept up with the schedule, Kevin.
I'm so impressed. I've done 7 in a row, and this is a miracle. It is a miracle that I have made 7 in a row. It's just, I got a lot going on. So I got a full-time job.
And there's a good chance I would probably be divorced if I had to do this thing once a week. I mean, we'd have a lot of pissed off Place to Be podcast fans. If I had to cut the Scott Criscolo JR show back to once a week, I think we'd piss a lot of people off. That's one of the reasons I'm not going to be on Steve Carino's show, that and complete overexposure. But yeah, he's going to be weekly. I'm on the verge of, you know, barely balancing all this as it is. So
I know it's very, very difficult because it's not just the 2-hour finished product that you hear. You know, it's
6 minutes of editing.
it's like 3 hours.
It is
to get it all done.
And I'm lucky that I have, you know, a guy like Dan who does do all of the, you know, helps me with all the prep, and a guy like Brad who helps me with all the logistics of the site, and you know, with you, Kevin, it's a smooth. And I think a big part of how this show's been successful is that you were on our show for so many times, so we were able to build this rapport. So I think that was a big part of it. It was natural from Jump Street.
Dan McGinn writes a nasty little note on Scott, which I don't even want to read, but he just
He said he can't even listen to you once a week. Like, that would be too much. I can't say I disagree.
I can't listen to me once a week. It's too much. I agree. So no to weekly podcast, but Steve Carino is going to do a weekly podcast.
And see, here's the thing though. You're going to get like an hour from Carino. See, Kevin gives you over 2 every other week. So it's almost like a weekly show.
See, there you go.
He has to work for his shows. You know, you get these guys like Jim Ross. I'm going to go off on the soapbox here, Kevin.
Oh, here we go.
You get guys like Jim Ross doing his podcast. He's with this big company. They line up all these guests. I could sit on a fucking couch and talk to Steve Austin or Paul Heyman for 3 hours. I mean, that's nothing. Kevin works for these shows, man. We're digging up topics. We're working for guests. We're making this thing happen on our own. We're not out there with some multi-million-dollar company backing us. We got Brad and his GoDaddy account. That's all we got.
I need help. listen, I'm very proud of what we do here.
You should be. You're doing a great job.
There has been a reason why we've had every guest on. We've talked about various names. Would you be interested in so and so? Would you be interested in so and so? And the vast majority of them, what have I said, JR?
No, or go F yourself.
Well, that's just to be funny, but yeah, I'm not interested in a lot of like old time wrestlers just coming on to share war stories. You know, I'm gonna have friends on and we'll talk about stuff, but I know their personal story. Mm. And I'm able to make it more than just wrestling. We talked to Steve Carino, and it was all about family and about his kids and his change of attitude and everything. When we talk with DDP, mm-hmm. we're not going to talk about the great matches that he had. We're not going to talk about losing.
I don't think you would anyway, even if you
wanted right.
to. He'll be staring at that conversation.
We are going to talk about, you know, finishing strong. And so it's tough. It's a balancing act. I know, we got to make sure that we have guests that are name value enough to where it's like, oh, I'm going to listen to what so-and-so says, right. See if he, you know, takes a dump on anybody famous or does something stupid or
whatever.
See, that's
why we're going to have John Walters on.
Oh, I love that.
We're going to have him on to shoot and rip some people. Because he'll do it.
Oh, that's asshole. Just him. You just say, hey, good morning. And then that's it. What do you mean by that? Yeah. That's all you need to say.
His ego's been too big since 2000.
Come on. You've known him a long time. He hasn't always. Hasn't.
He was a jerk when he was a senior in college. He's a jerk now.
Well, we'll have to have him on, obviously, for political discourse.
The last episode we'll have him on.
That'll be the one after DDP, right? That'll be it.
That'll be it. We're going to retire at 9. So you're telling me we're not going to match the PTB 305 we're at?
Oh, that would be 600 weeks it would take. That's a long time. That's 12 years. Uh-huh. Wait, no, 60?
Yeah, a lot of years.
Yeah, a lot of years.
All right, last question here, Kevin, but I have a feeling we're going to hold off on it for a minute. Stephen J. Sutton, which talent are you expecting to impress at Future of Honor show on Friday?
Oh, yes. We're definitely going to... We'll answer the question, but we'll do it at the end of the show because okay. I want to kind of do a big summation of Future of Honor at the end.
Okay.
Future of Honor this Friday night, Newville, PA. A lot of young up-and-comers competing, and it's going to be exciting. But we'll answer that. Give me one more. Come on, let's shoehorn another question in.
All right. Mr. LaRusse, GMG, if there's one thing that Ring of Honor could have that WWE or TNA has, what would it be? I know for TNA, you could say Money Mark. Probably be the best one, right?
But what does that mean? I mean...
Yeah, someone dumping money in.
And then what?
About anything.
Well, I think obviously, as far as what WWE, as far as what both companies have, they have really, like, impressive lighting.
Mm.
And production.
Yeah.
Whereas we're not there yet. I look at our television show compared to theirs, compared to WWE. And it's like great wrestling, great, you know, kind of stories, very simple, very easy to digest, but it just doesn't look as good as WWE. And TNA has very good lighting, always been impressed. In fact, their lighting director, I don't know if it's the same guy, it was Jeff. I can't remember his last name. He was also the lighting director when I did Lucha Libre USA. So, and he did outstanding work there. That would probably be the biggest thing. And it's probably the least, you know, the least sexy answer I could give. But
which wrestler would you take from each one? I mean, you know, John Cena or anything like that. Like, which mid-card up-and-comer guy would you like to grab from each promotion?
I don't really want to answer that because I would be afraid of being accused of tampering.
Okay. All right.
Listen, for Jarrett's thing, you want one guy?
You're worried about McDivitt? Is that what you're worried about?
Is he still alive, Jerry McDivitt?
Warrior took a good shot at him at the
true.
Hall of Fame.
Did he really?
He said he still doesn't understand how Jerry McDivitt lost the WWF name, basically. I forgot the exact joke, but it was a good one.
In the whole, right, with the World Wildlife Fund. If Jared wants to do something, $25 million will get you John Cena. Throw $25 million and get John Cena.
I don't think he'll ever leave.
Meh. I don't think so either. But you want one guy, that's what you do. Can you swing that kind of loop?
I think you could get Punk cheaper.
Is Punk a difference maker?
I think right now he is. A year or two from now, probably not. I think right now he's a hot enough name, and people are still wondering if he's coming back. I think right now, if he's your gut comes in, you debut on TV, he walks out and you let him cut a promo like ECW style on Vince and Hunter, and like let him shoot and let loose and give him your title. I think that's how you get noticed.
I think this is going to be more of a mainstream show, though. I don't think this is going to be wrestling. I think it's going to start as a reality show.
Oh, good for them. Then they'll be out of business.
That's what I mean. That's why I think they need somebody that's a star. They need a celebrity.
They're not getting John Cena.
They need The Rock.
They need Screech.
Hey, Dustin Diamond, come on down.
They need Rodzilla, the last Hulk Hogan Celebrity Championship Wrestling champion.
Let's get Buff Bagwell, the hat. And that's all you
all
need.
Right, enough about Bagwell. Why don't we get to the game here?
We'll get
some stuff in here.
Let's play the stock market game, which is my favorite.
Remember, we're buying or selling.
Okay.
Okay. So the stock's out in the market. you have some already, you got a little bit, do you want to buy more, do you want to sell? Cesaro as a Paul Heyman guy.
Oh, I've already put the buy order in. Are you kidding me? I wrote about this in WrestleZone this past week. The best thing that could have ever happened to Cesaro was when he said, I'm a Paul Heyman guy.
Yeah.
Because Heyman now gets the... Cesaro gets the rub from Lesnar through Heyman on beating the streak.
Mm-hmm.
Heyman's red hot. Cesaro is red hot. It only helps Cesaro to be along with Heyman. Even if the fans love Cesaro for the swing and for all the cool stuff he does, and they dislike Heyman with Lesnar, it still works. There is no downside. You buy, buy, and buy, and then you hold because he gonna be a big star.
And I like too how Heyman has like his clients spread out a little bit. You know, they're not like a stable work. Like he's got all these different vested interests in different people. So I kind of like the way they're doing that right now. And you're right. I think it's gonna rub off. And I think Cesaro is their next big star.
Yeah, that's it. That's it right there.
All right. We mentioned it before, but the GWF as a real competitor with WWE.
I can't see putting my money behind something like this right now. I got to wait to see a little bit more information. So I would not buy the stock at this time. I would let others kind of go. I was not impressed with the whole big announcement of the guy from The Biggest Loser. Were you? JR?
I missed that whole thing. So who was it from Biggest Loser?
I don't know. Some executive producer?
Oh, it's not even a guy? I thought it was like a guy that was on The Biggest Loser.
No. It was like a creator or some production company dude. A giant nose. I was just like, oh. And all I see is Biggest Loser. And I just keep thinking, Biggest Loser.
Did you take Scott Criscola? I can't get through one show. I can't do it. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, I really get upset. I just don't see it. I just don't see it. And this talent index, they said they had a 500 people.
Oh, sure, yeah. Who's on there? Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant, Randy. Oh, we didn't get a Randy Savage.
It's just names and phone numbers. He's got his Rolodex is probably full of names of guys.
Tennessee Lee. The big strike against him already. Their Twitter, Kevin. GWF Global
Force Wrestling, GFW.
GFW. We keep calling it, we can't even get the name right. Their Twitter handle's at GFW Wrestling. How fucking stupid is that? At Global Force Wrestling Wrestling. That's like saying at MLB Baseball.
My wife gets hot at ESPN News. That aggravates her. I know. And the it's not good. Not good. Not good. And I loved all the great press they were getting this week. You know, at least it
slapping the kid.
Yes. First of all, why are you working for Ian Rotten? Why are you working for Ian Rotten?
Well, they said it was a work now, right?
It didn't happen.
Okay.
But did Ian Rotten stiff him on money? Yes. He stiffs everybody on money.
Ian Rotten, I've been watching some ECW from late 93. He was one of Terry Funk's A Few Good Men backing him up in his big feud here for the title.
What a mess.
Sabu. All right, up next, the Milwaukee Brewers, currently sitting at 11-4. Are they a playoff team or a World Series threat, Kevin? Are you buying this?
I am. I'm still solidly. There are three teams that I was thinking about in the Central this year. Pittsburgh, St. Louis, Cincinnati.
We had to roll the dice. You know, there's five teams in the AL Central been looking at this year.
No. As far as okay, how do you pick? Obviously, then, okay, Pittsburgh. If I had to win one away from the top, it'd be Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah.
Especially with Chapman. I just don't. Anyway. So now Pittsburgh and St. Louis. I didn't have Milwaukee in that conversation at all.
No.
Teams get hot. I would not buy them yet. Let's see how they are after 60 games as opposed to 15.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see. Good start. Good little club. We'll see. I'm not afraid of I'm not afraid of the Dodgers, but they're going to be better. I'm not afraid of the Nationals with all the injuries that they've got, but they're going to be better. I don't know about Strasburg. I think something's wrong with him. He got rocked the other night. Although your boy Tanaka for the Yankees.
Masa, my hero.
Hachi Machi.
Woof. 10 Ks today. One hit. I mean, two hits. Two bunt hits. Singles.
41 points for me for my fantasy team.
Yeah, I'm playing him. And I have Pineda going tonight, though. So,
all right.
Yeah, so we will see. You know, there's 30 teams I've really been looking at in MLB, Kevin. All right. Buy or sell a Stanley Cup rematch between the Blackhawks and the Bruins.
Bruins, definitely. I don't feel the Blackhawks. I just don't feel them. I think the Kings. I'd buy it. Just because you know you're going to get one of the two there.
Mm-hmm.
And you buy something like that because you got a pretty good shot. It's 50-50. I don't think anybody's touching Boston in the East. West, of course, much more competitive. Could Chicago emerge? Yes. Do they need to figure some things out? Yes. They've been way inconsistent this year for my liking. But they could put it all together at just the right time. LA did it a couple of years ago. And we could have that rematch. There's nothing better than playoff hockey. It don't matter to me. Flyers, Rangers, game one tomorrow night. I know I'm going to be watching CNBC. So there you go.
We already had our first. We have our first overtime game already, Kevin, tonight. The first game, Montreal, Tampa Bay, in overtime right now. Pittsburgh up 4-3 on Columbus in the third with 2 minutes.
Only one Canadian team in the playoffs this year. Isn't that amazing?
Good. Screw them. Canucks. Eric Young is the new TNA champion.
What a joke.
I mean, they basically redid the Daniel Bryan story, but sped it up to like 3 weeks.
I wrote about this, too.
Oh, you write all these things, huh?
No, I wrote about it on WrestleZone. I did it, too.
That's what I'm saying. You write all these things, and I come knocking. I don't get any answers.
Where's my cash register sound effect? Hang on.
It's all you're about, the fucking money.
Hey. Take it easy.
By the way, I've been counting my F-bombs because I know Steve Wheelie, for some reason, allows his children to listen to the show, and he messages me every time he hears an F-bomb. So.
I told you. Not from me.
Yeah, you dropped a big one last episode because I got the message.
Really?
Yeah, you got people like Jordan Duncan. I think his mom listens. McGinn sits with his parents and listens, so it's dangerous times.
Hey, Mom and Dad. I'm helping produce this show.
Come down to the basement.
Oh, wait, Kevin just cursed.
All right, that's enough McGinn jokes. He doesn't even listen to the show, he says. All right, Paige as Divas champion.
Ooh, very interesting. Again, 21 years old. They're going to turn her pretty quick. You've already started to see it. The black leather coat, little sneer in her face. Just you wait. Just you watch and see. But I dig it. I'm buying it. I'm buying her. There's no doubt about it. She's got a ton of talent.
Evolution reunion.
My buddy Ed Condra, he's excited. He was a big Evolution fan. And I was like, oh my gosh, idiot. How could you like them? He loved it, and he texted me when they came back. Oh, I'm so excited. Evolution's back.
Your buddy Scott's through the roof right now about it.
Oh, over the moon. I read his little recap of Raw.
Look at that. See, that should make up for the joke, Scott. Kevin Kelly reads your Raw recap.
And it got to the end, right? And he had, I can't remember the exact line, but it was just like an Evolution got back together, and all was right with the world. And he's got the picture. I don't know if he picks the pictures.
He does.
Okay, so he's got Triple H with the, you know, grabbing Roman Reigns' face, you know, yelling at him the way he was. And
he's like, yeah. Walt Whitman when it comes to writing about Triple H all of a sudden. It all comes out.
The poetic prose.
Scott, he gets a lot of credit, though, man. We record on Monday nights. We wrap up like 10:15, 10:30. He fires up the 3-hour Raw and turns that freaking recap out. And he posts it like 1:30 in the morning. He does all the edit, you know, he does all the pictures and all that stuff. So give him some shout out there.
Good job. And the Raw recap, again, I read it because I missed I was in and out of the show Monday night, so I read the recap to catch up on what I missed. And it was really good. It was very thorough. It was well written. It was storytelling, and it wasn't just editorializing. By the way, where was the ROH recap?
Mine didn't record this week.
What?
It did not record for some reason, and I was away. I was in Boston for an event for my wife, so I was not around, and for some reason it did not record.
All right.
Last one. Steve Corino's podcast. You buying or selling?
I'm buying. I'm buying Corino, and I'll tell you why. A couple of years ago, like we talked about earlier on, he was a different dude. Now he's like really positive. And when he would hammer his buddy Rob Dimension on the old XOC podcast, it's always funny. And the two of them, they pick on each other a lot, but it's fun. But whenever he would talk about wrestling, and you're never quite sure. And seeing Steve now and where he is in his life, and I think he's going to really just hit it out of the park with this. He's feeling much more comfortable behind the microphone every week, and on Ring of Honor television. And I think it's going to come through in his podcast. I'm really buying the show. I think it's going to be outstanding.
I do too. I'm really looking forward to working with him.
Yeah, good call, by the way. Outstanding.
Yes. On a whim. Kevin, here's a story for you. So I mentioned, I told this on Monday's show, but I'm sure there's some that don't listen to both. So I tell you, I was at this event over the weekend. It's for Providence College, their big event for the year, big fundraiser. So my wife was working. I had to go up and attend along with her. And the host of the auction that they had was John O'Hurley, Jay Peterman, right?
Yeah.
From Seinfeld. Yeah, Providence grad. So he comes back and does the hosting of the auction for them, auctioneer. So I'm with a coworker of mine, and his wife works with my wife, so we little foursome there. He, me and him are down in the bar having a drink while, the thing's getting set up. It's like 4 o'clock-ish. We go around 5, we get in the elevator to go up to the room to get dressed. On the way up, there's John O'Hurley with his wife and his golf clubs. Like, oh, this is cool. So we just say hi. We get out, we change. About a half hour later, we get back in the elevator. Kevin, who's in the elevator in his tux? John O'Hurley, right? So, I mean, the timing on this is incredible, right? So now we're going back down in the elevator with John O'Hurley, and this elevator is packed to the gills. It had to be like 10 people jammed in this elevator, and he's in the back kind of reading his notes, and it's a little tense in there. These girls get on, they're probably in their mid-20s, and one of them's carrying like a gym bag, like a duffel bag. And we stop at the floor where O'Hurley's going to get off. He's going right to the event, and me and my friend were going downstairs to go to the ATM, so we're not getting off with him. So he goes to get off the elevator, and he squeezes his way through, and he steps in this girl's gym bag and goes flying out of the elevator, right? Like,
oh my God.
Stumbling out. Like, he's like, you know when you're running and you trip and you try to catch your balance, and you just see this long, gangly man go, and I'm dying laughing. I cannot, right? It's so freaking hilarious. And I'm thinking, what is the people seeing of him on the other end? If you're standing in the hallway, and all of a sudden he comes pratfalling out of the elevator, Jay Peterman. So the elevator door closes, and the girl's mortified. And my friend Kevin goes, do you know who that was? And she's like, no, who is it? I know it's someone, And he's like, have you seen Seinfeld? That's Jay Peterman. And this poor girl is just mortified that she almost killed Peterman. So I'm dying. I cannot stop laughing. So we get to the event, and my wife is like, oh, my gosh. She's like, John O'Hurley was late. What was he doing? I said, well, you're lucky he made it. I said, he almost died on the way here. So I went up to him after, and I introduced myself again. I said, I want to make sure you're okay. And, that led to me, getting a photo with him, and, that's on my Facebook page right now. So
I saw that and was very impressed. It was, what a story,
right? Is that a good one? You like that? I mean,
I wonder what he said, like when the door of the elevator closed. Douchey woman with her stupid gym bag.
And he even, when we took the picture, I set him up for the Seinfeld quote. I said, do you prefer Burma or Myanmar? And he answered me in the Peterman voice. He did the line from the show. So it's pretty amazing. It's a great night. I mean, that story, that's like a story you tell for years. I mean, I think Kevin and I alone told like 50 different people at the event that night what had happened to us. So
that's the old like brush with greatness thing.
Such a good, I mean, and the odds to catch him on both elevator rides were
up and
amazing.
And down, and then to see him. Almost break his neck and then get the picture with him later and have him hit the line.
Oh,
come on.
Beautiful.
That's a home run right there.
Right. That's almost like doing a podcast with my hero, Kevin Kelly.
You stop it. You hate my guts.
I do not. If you had told me in 1997 we'd talk every other week and all the time on Facebook and we'd be doing a show, my mind would have been blown, Kevin. I was always a fan of yours.
Well, I appreciate it. It's fun. I'm enjoying it.
No truth or dare this week because you succeeded. You worked Hachimachi in.
Yes.
Super Card of Honor of all shows.
Right off the bat.
So we're looking forward to that. So we'll give
By
you a
By the way,
off.
I'm going to keep that alive.
Good. You should. I'm letting you have it. I even talked to the originator, my friend Josh Richer, who initially did it.
And what did he say? What did he? Did
oh,
he
he's thrilled. Like, he's amazing.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He loves it.
I was thinking about that. Like, this guy is like horning in on my joke.
No.
It's not even, you know.
He's down with it. He's,
okay,
he's on
right.
board 100%.
So. All right, good.
All right, why don't you send us home here, Kev?
Hachimachi is the money. We're gonna have a very big weekend with Ring of Honor. Saturday night, of course, we return to Baltimore, the Myers Pavilion. This time, though, go to ROHWrestling.com for the information on Second to None. It's going to be a lot of great times had by all. And AJ Styles returns the rematch with Michael Elgin, so that's going to be awesome, off the charts. But Friday night's the event that I'm really looking forward to. And that's because it's the first Future of Honor show. It's Future of Honor 1 in Newville, PA, which is just outside of Carlisle at the Big Spring Community Center. It is a great old facility originally built post-World War II, and I think it was an American Legion post to you know help bring in the returning war vets. It was a skating rink for a while after that. Now it's this multi-purpose gym, basketball place, and we're there Friday night. The event itself is going to be fantastic because there's a Ring of Honor stars, including the world champion Adam Cole, returning to the ring after a lengthy absence, Delirious. World television champion Jay Lethal is going to be there. The Briscoes are going to be there. Brutal Burgers, Team Benchmark. And then filling out the card is going to be a lot of young men and women who have competed and trained at the ROH dojo and have been part of ROH tryout camps. We've been trying to find a place for these young guys and girls to work, and now we've had to create our own promotion to do it. So that's our first event this Friday night. Team Benchmark is going to do battle with the Briscoes, so it's a good chance to see what Bill Daly and the Hype Will Ferrara can do against the Briscoes. Brutal Burgers is going to take on the team of Moose, who is a former NFL player who's awesome, incredible, trained by Mr. Hughes. Wait till you see him. He's going to be real a big star in Ring of Honor very soon. And the Reverend Stokely Hathaway, who is with R.D. Evans right now. R.D. calls him Ramon. I don't think RD knows that his name is the Reverend Stokely Hathaway. But anyway, so that's that team. There is going to be Congos there taking on Psycho Mike Rollins from Canada. There's a big six man with Vinny Marcellia, who's been there before. Tim Donst is going to be really doing some big things. All Ego Ethan Page is on the event. Jay Diesel, the head of security, is making his Ring of Honor debut against Jay Lethal. My gosh. And the place is going to be packed with Diesel fans. Mandy Leon is making her professional wrestling debut against Jenny Rose. Both girls, beautiful. Mandy Leon, absolutely stunning. And we'll see what happens there. The full roster and lineup is at ROHWrestling.com. You can follow Future of Honor on Twitter, at Future of Honor. And we invite everybody to join us this Friday night in Newville, PA, at the Big Spring Community Center. This is one that is near and dear to my heart, and it would mean a lot if everybody could come out. So in 2 weeks, as I told you, we have Diamond Dallas Page. And if we were planning to stop at 8 episodes and we're not, this would be the best guest, because I don't know if we're going to be able to top this one. When the idea of Finish Strong came up, in my mind, Diamond Dallas Page was in the back of my mind because this is what it's all about. How do you finish strong in your life and your career? Well, DDP has done it, and he's going to be our guest here in 2 weeks. I'm really looking forward to this one. It's going to be fantastic. Your questions for DDP, you can send them to us on Twitter, hashtag AskKevin. And Steve Carino was our special guest this week. Outstanding, outstanding job. And make sure you tune in to the debut of the Steve Carino Show next week right here on the Place to Be Nation. For Dan McGinn and Justin Mazzaro, I'm Kevin Kelly. Thanks so much for joining us here on The Kevin Kelly Show. Place to Be Nation back in 2 weeks. DDP is our special guest, and we'll see you then, everybody.
Big vagina?
Gigantic vagina.
What?
Biggest vagina known to man. Huge! Jazzy on me. You know the words in my songs. No, I habla English. Our conversations ain't long, but you know what is. I know what that girl them want. London to Taiwan. I got lipstick stamps on my passport. I think I need a new one. Been around the world, don't speak the language, but your booty don't need explaining. All I really need to understand is when you talk dirty to me. You can suck my penis. Gilbert Arenas, guns on deck. Chest to chest, tongue on neck. International oral sex. Every picture I take, I pose a threat. Fold a jet, what you expect? Her pussy so good, I bought her a pet. Anyway, every day I'm trying to get to it. Gotta say to my phone on the big booty. Anyway, every day I'm trying to get to it. Gotta say to my phone on the big booty. In the world, don't speak the language. Your booty don't need explaining. All I really need to understand is when you talk dirty to me.
I don't understand.